You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. Looking ahead to the action on Sunday the 15th of April. It's the day after the Grand National, the time to maybe spend some of your winnings or look back and try and forget what's happened on Saturday and start anew. We record this podcast before the Grand National takes place on Saturday, but there's still time to look back on some of the action that's taken place in Aintree a little bit earlier on in the week and also look ahead to some of Sunday's racing. My name's John Gibby, joined here in the studio by Andy Gibson. Hello Andy, how are you?
I'm very good, John. How are you doing?
Yes, good. Good to be joined by you on the podcast today.
Yeah, lovely to be here.
Have you enjoyed Aintree?
Oh, it's been great, hasn't it? And it's not over yet. We've still got the Grand National to look forward to.
Yes, we have indeed. It's a slightly strange time flux thing here because we have the Grand National to look forward to, but as most people will be listening to this, they will already have had the Grand National. So,
if only they could tell us.
Exactly.
Now.
We'd be rich.
We would.
We'd never have to work again.
£5 each way on the winner.
But in the meantime, let's have a look at what's happening at Newcastle tomorrow. There's one of a few meetings you can hear live on Racing Radio. And your Knapp and your Next Best both running at this meeting. Andy, first of all, your Next Best.
Yeah, I have to say a very tentative selection. The ground at Newcastle, as we're seeing today, is absolutely appalling. And it ain't going to get any better tomorrow. So we want something that's run on heavy ground before, and ideally something that's run over a longer trip than the one that they're taking on tomorrow. And in that respect, Main Fact fits both criteria. He won at Wetherby last time out over 2 mile, 3.5 on heavy ground. Two runs ago, he won at Sedgefield on soft. He's performed well before that on heavy ground on Metair on the flat. So, you know, for those reasons alone, he looks to have a reasonable chance. I'm not sure what sort of price he'll be. He might well be favourite or second favourite, but I thought it was
9-4 favourite on the betting forecast.
Okay, and what's Helani?
Helani, obviously this is just a forecast, but 6-1.
Okay, I thought Helani might be the second favourite, and I just thought that with Helani yet having to prove conclusively that he's going to act on this absolutely appalling ground, that would strengthen the claims of Main Fact. And on a day where you'd have to be said it's very poor fare, obviously compared to the excitements of today, then I thought Main Fact would be my next best selection.
Main Fact the next best. And what about your Knapp?
Yeah, my Knapp is in the 2.5 mile, 5:40. And I've been here before with this horse. I think he was my each way next best about 4 or 5 weeks ago, and he just got caught on the line. And it's a horse called The Digout. It was the day that he was beaten a short head by Western Rules that I was keen on him. And in fact, there was two races in a row. He was beaten on very soft ground at Ayr over 3 miles by a short head and then a head. It's possible that we've missed our opportunity with this horse. But what I think is interesting tomorrow is that Mickey Hammond has put Hugo Thompson Brown on, and he claims his 10, which might make the difference. I mean, the horse is now rated 119, so he's going to be running off 109 tomorrow. And in the prediction I saw, he was 5 or 6 to 1. So I'm hoping he's going to be an each way bet. And if he is an each way bet, I'll certainly be backing him. He'll act on the ground, he'll stay the trip, and really tomorrow that is even more vital than it would be normally because of the extreme nature of what we're going to see tomorrow. I like Hugo. I've got one horse that I bought off Mickey Hammond that I run a syndicate for with Mickey, and we won at Wetherby last Sunday with Hugo Thompson Brown on. We won by 17 lengths. I think we won by 16 lengths more than we wanted to win by.
Skyward's Reward, the horse.
Skyward's Reward. So as a consequence of that, we're running again very quickly. We're running on Tuesday back at Carlisle over 2 mile 1 again. And, you know, I imagine we'll be long odds on favourite for that race. And Hugo's going to be on board again.
I have to say, I hadn't seen an awful lot of Hugo riding before that that ride on Skyward's Roar, but I was impressed with the ride he gave him.
Yeah, he did very well. I think they had a disagreement at the last, but what I would say is that he asked him at every hurdle, and he jumped well for Jamie Hamilton when he won at Weatherby Skywards, but if anything, he jumped even better for Hugo last Sunday. So, we're very hopeful for Tuesday. Very happy to have Hugo back on board again. And I hope that he proves us as suited to the dig out, because his £10 claim will make a difference.
To dig out then, the suggestion in the 5:40 at Newcastle, that closing contest by Andy Gibson. So we move our attention now to what's happened already this week, Andy, and it's fair to say some slightly a higher quality fare compared to what we've just been talking about at Newcastle on Sunday. You sometimes forget with the Aintree Grand National Festival, because everyone's talking about the big race, just how many grade ones and how much top quality fare there is.
I was listening to Racing UK when they opened up on the Thursday, and I heard Steve Mellish say that he thought that in many ways Aintree was as good and possibly even better than Cheltenham in some ways. Certainly, I concurred with him that when you go to Aintree, for whatever reason, there are not loads and loads of people, certainly on the Thursday, not loads and loads of people fighting to watch the horses walk round. Perhaps it's a more social crowd than a racing crowd, I don't know. But it's certainly, Thursday is such an enjoyable day's racing when you're there at the course. I'm not a big fan of huge crowds, so I'm very happy to be sat at William Hill watching the Grand National rather than be huddled in amongst a huge, I don't know how many people are going to be there today. Have you any idea?
I don't know, but it'll be
tens of thousands, obviously. It's just it's not my cup of tea in that sense. But the Thursday is an absolute delightful day, and you know we've just seen some absolutely cracking racing, haven't we?
We have indeed, and it all got underway with the 1:45 on Thursday. Was the Big Buck Celebration Manifesto Novices Chase, a Grade 1 contest, and after Brain Power, who was one of the more fancied runners in the market, came out of the race at the 8th fence. Finian Zosku, who's been slightly strangely campaigning for me so far this season, he's run out a 2-length winner.
Yeah, and obviously they've done well to get a Grade 1 out of him over fences, I think. He's not a natural over fences. Before the race, I thought that it was probably 50-50 that we'd see him going for the Stayers Hurdle next year. After the race, Colin Tizard said that it would be the Hennessy next. And, you know, obviously they're going to be hoping that he jumps a lot better. I mean, he jumped well when the pace was slow on Thursday, but he was soon in trouble when the gallop quickened up. He clouted the 7th, 6th and 5th last fence and appeared to be struggling in last place even when jumping 3 out, which he didn't get right neither. So he's won massively by default due to the weak nature of the race, I think. Now they blamed the 2.5 mile trip and said he's much better over 3, and whilst that may be true, you wouldn't still want to be hanging your hat on him putting in a clear round of jumping on another day over 3 miles. Certainly you want to be seeing something more from him before you'd be considering him as a Hennessy horse. He looked similar in some ways to a Tidal Bay or something like that, who turned into a real monkey over fences, you know, albeit a successful monkey. I'm sure they wouldn't mind some of that success. And I would suggest as well that he'll be a horse that, you know, when you do back him before races, you'll often find that if you back him at 5-1, there'll be points in the race where he looks more like a 10-1 shot. Yeah. Because it's hard to imagine him putting in a fluent round over every fence. So he's not one that is going to be on my side very often. I hope he's going to be in a very good race as a short price favourite somewhere along the line, because he'd be a horse that I'd tend to want to oppose at a short price.
But if you look at how he's gone this season, you know, he's run over fences, he's run over hurdles, he's run over 2 miles, he's run over 2.5, he's run over 3 miles. You know, it feels like with this horse, they'd probably be benefited by deciding on a plan and sticking to it. So is staying chasing going to be what they do next season, you think?
Well, I think now clearly Robbie Power and Colin Tizard both agree that he wants 3 miles. So they started the season off over 2.5. He was okay in both races, I would say, probably quite good. But then when they dropped him back to running over 2 miles in the Henry VIII at Sandown, Robbie Power got off and questioned his courage. And I think that's then put doubts in Robbie Powers' mind. He's then stepped up in trip over 2.5 and actually showed really battling qualities over 2.5 when he only just went down the short head to Benatar after, again, not being very fluent. They've then dropped him to hurdles, but you'd have to say that was at a time when the stable was out of form and he ran on and off the bridle in similar fashion to many of the horses from the Tizard Yard at the time. And then, of course, he's gone to Cheltenham, jumped up. I thought, in fact, he jumped better at Cheltenham than he did at Aintree, but the Cheltenham race was just a much hotter contest. I mean, obviously, Terrafort was in second place that day and, you know, he looked really good early in the week, didn't he, at Aintree? So I think he's won a very weak Grade 1 race by default.
Yeah.
And at the start of the season, he would have been one of the horses I would have said was going to turn out to be an absolute top-class chaser. And I think he has too many quirks, and he's clearly not as straightforward as he once looked.
Finian's Oscar then, the winner of the Big Buck Celebration Manifesto Novices Chase, the first race of the Aintree Grand National Festival. We then had one of the biggest races of the whole meeting, the Aintree Bowl. And he might bite. He was second in the Gold Cup when he looked to get outpaced by Native River, but he's come here, made amends, absolutely romp time.
Yeah, and he's done really well, because in the Gold Cup, that was a grueling race. They went off at an almighty gallop, obviously because of Native River. And the two horses, Might Bite and Native River, I think can be marked up as being seriously better than the rest of that field on the day. I know that in the end, it closed down to four lengths, but I think Might Bite was worth an awful lot more ahead of Annabelle Fly in third. I think that those horses just closed because they'd never played a part in the race. I think you could tell by Nico's body language that he was looking after Might Bite from three out at Cheltenham because he wanted to nurse him home and make sure he lasted home. And in the end, he probably didn't quite get home. On good ground, I suspect it would be a very different story.
At Cheltenham as well, it felt a bit like being mindful to what had happened in the RSA the year before. He didn't want to let him go before that final fence.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, it was a relief to me to see him track the leader here at Aintree rather than take it up from the off, because he jumps just as well when he's just off the pace, and he'll surely last longer in this game if he's ridden off the pace at least every other race or quite often, rather than going, you know, from the gun, because, you know, you tend to have a shorter longevity when that's the only tactic that you've got. He's the best staying chaser around on good and probably even good to soft ground for me, and I thought it was a fantastic performance. I think Bristol Demay may well have put up a career best performance, and I know people will argue and say, well, he won by 57 lengths at Haydock, but I think there was a lot of default in that performance. Bristol Demay was brilliant, but he is very, very good on desperate ground at Haydock. But actually Clan des Obeaux, who ran the same day, put up a faster final circuit time than Bristol Demay that day, so I thought that put a more sensible ceiling on Bristol Demay's performance rather than suggest that he was 57 lengths better than Kew Card. I think that the extreme nature of the ground just put pay to the chances of the other horses and accentuated his winning margin. But he was brilliant here on this day. He showed once again that he wants soft ground, a flat left-handed track, and in those circumstances, he's in the top sort of 7 or 8 horses, I think.
Yeah.
Bristol Demay. And I think if you take him to Haydock, he's probably in the best 2 or 3 horses. He'll have Might Bite in the Betfair Chase in November. If the ground is desperate, Bristol Demay will have a reasonable chance of beating him. But on good to soft or faster, I don't think Bristol Demay will be... I think he'll be somewhere behind Might Bite.
They mentioned for Might Bite next season, potentially the stay is a triple crown.
Yeah, yeah, that's sensible, yeah.
You're going to want ground that is probably at the worst soft for this horse to have a reasonable chance of winning that, you would have thought.
To win the triple crown?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that if it came up soft again, then obviously at the Cheltenham Gold Cup, obviously he's got a major contender in Native River. If it came up good to soft or quicker, he'd have a favourites chance, you know, albeit a 4 or 5 to 1 favourites chance on what we know now. Presenting Percy might have something to say about that next season, you know, in his first season in an open company. In the King George, that would be the race that he would be the strongest favourite for, providing the ground was better than soft, so good to soft or good, which he, you know, often is there. I think that would be his number one chance of a Grade 1 success next season, and he's got 3 very good chances. And Clan des Obeaux, he's run extremely well there at Aintree, and I think that they should go for the Betfair Chase with him as well, and if it comes up very soft, you know, he would have a chance of being thereabouts.
That was the Aintree Bowl. Mike Bite coming out and winning another Grade 1. What a season it's been for him, despite a disappointment in the Gold Cup when second to Native River. The Aintree Hurdle, Grade 1, was also on the Thursday of this year's Grand National Festival. And Lammy Surge has come out and won yet another Grade 1 for Nicky Henderson. What a Aintree he's had so far. And Super Sunday back in second. And people have been talking about this this also as a potential staying hurdler for a lot of the season here, Andy. Do you think this has proven that he's more at home over intermediate trips?
Possibly, but he's a horse I've been interested in all season because he's such he's definitely got quirky qualities, and he needs a race to develop in a certain way to suit him. I think that 3 miles is the ceiling of his ability, and possibly 50 yards beyond the ceiling of his ability. It's a very close call. On good ground, I think he'd get home over 3 miles. The problem in the Stayers Hurdle was that Sam Spinner went far too slow for him, for Sam Spinner and for Lammy Surge. And so consequently, you had the situation where Lammy Surge, with 3 to jump, the leaders quickened, and he had to be then ridden to close down on the leaders. The thing with Lammy Surge that I've learned is once you see him being ridden 3 out or 2 out, you know you're not going to win. He has to be on the bridle. He has to be smuggled into the race without knowing he is being smuggled into the race. Mm. And Daryl Jacob has to find the sort of the little gaps between horses, smuggle him up the backside of one horse, get him in behind another, and just quietly develop his position in the race until the final hurdle. And as it happens, everything worked perfectly for him there. And obviously he had no problem with the trip over 2.5 miles. I don't think it was the strongest field. My Tent or Yours for Me doesn't stay the trip, and he's been flattered by finishing second in this race 2 years running in very weak renewals. Beyond odds on strong favourites. Klein was advantaged by following the pace set by Diakali on Thursday. He stayed close to the pace, and I think there might be an element of him being slightly flattered by third place. And you'd have to say there's a possibility that Super Sunday, you know, isn't the strongest horse in a finish, possibly. Mm. Maybe better on better ground. And, you know, I think it's still up in the air what Super Sunday's best trip is. I'm not convinced about him over 3 miles in a fast run race. And he certainly looked like he fell short on softer ground over 2.5 miles. It might just be the ground with Super Sunday. But Lammy Surge, he's done well to win his Grade 1. He's a horse who's worth following very closely, because when he's running in races where there's huge gaps between the field, that's not going to suit him. And I could see him flopping 2 or 3 times next season and then being a really nice price, especially when he gets a track like Aintree where he's got a long home straight where he can tuck in behind horses and make steady progress.
Lammy Surge won the Aintree Hurdle on the Thursday. Andy, time against us here a little bit, but we'll quickly roll on to the Friday and take a look at the Grade 1 contest here with the Melling Chase over 2.5 miles, so one such Grade 1 race. And Politolog, back away from Cheltenham, of course, where he doesn't really seem to map particularly well, has come out and beaten Min.
No, I concur with that. I think he's tried Cheltenham 3 times now, and he's run below form on 3 occasions. I think it's time to question that. I wouldn't be quick to have him on my shortlist if he wins a couple of races and ends up in the first 3 in the betting in the Champion Chase next season. I hope I remember that. He certainly came back to form here. I think what this race told us is that if Min could not beat Politolog over 2.5 miles, I think we can be fairly confident that Min is a much better horse over 2 miles than he is over 2.5. And I think Balco de Flo won a race at Cheltenham in the Ryanair Chase where he tracked a very fast pace set by Undersaw, who, and we know from experience with Undersaw that he has a very, very fast gallop. But if a horse is able to stay with him and then take him on, Undersaw tends not to find. Mm. And I think that Balco de Flo had one target horse, nothing behind him ran a race, so in effect he had one target horse to beat and he was able to go past him and win it. He had a very different experience here at Aintree where Davy Russell decided to make the running on him. You can understand why, because he would have wanted to test the stamina of Min and Politolog, who both ran over 2 miles at Cheltenham. It didn't work for him. It might work on another day, but I think you'll probably find Balco de Flo settled in behind next time on another day. And I'm not sure... I think this could be the as good a reputation as Politilog holds at the moment. He's won the Tingle Creek. He's won the Melling Chase. He's obviously a very good horse, but I think Paul Nicholls has done remarkably well to win those two races, I beg your pardon, with this horse.
Politilog upsetting the short price favourite Min in the Melling Chase. And we move on then to the action that took place on Saturday, prior to the big race, of course, the Grand National. And the Mersey Novices Hurdle was another Grade 1 contest. And it was Black Op for Tom George, won here narrowly to beat Lost in Translation of Colin Tizard in second place.
Yeah, I think Tom George was on a losing run of something like 30-something before this race.
Something was it that long?
Something like that, yeah. But Black Op is a good horse, and obviously he's followed a superstar home at Cheltenham. I'm sure Sam Crowe, you know, they'll have the pick next season. If Sam Crowe went for the Champion Hurdle, I think he would be at the moment top of my list for that race. If they go over fences, then he'll be top of many people's lists for the Arkle or the JLT, depending on where he ends up. Black Op is a very good horse. He had a lot go wrong here in that he took up the running a long way home. He had two or three horses come to challenge him, the last of which was Lost in Translation, who was a big price this morning. And I had a very decent each way bet on Lost in Translation, so I was extremely disappointed to see him get beaten. But it was a nice run, and it was a close run thing. And I think Lost in Translation will be better on better ground, but so will Black Op. So I think that'll be very interesting. Maybe both horses will go fencing next season. Black Op's clearly going to make a nice chaser, but so is Lost in Translation. He's a lovely big horse. I think of the horses in behind, Western Rider looks interesting. He's going to be interesting when he gets on some better ground. And II Charlie has run well all season. He's finished a little bit close here for me because I was looking at him for a handicap next season. He's rated 134. But I'm a little bit concerned that he's going to get shoved up about £5 or £6 for that performance, which is not a good thing. And on the blind side, I don't think he's had the best preparation coming into that. Into this race, he was the 11-8 favourite. He had a setback just before Cheltenham, and maybe retrospectively, they'll be thinking that they perhaps should have put him away for the season.
Black Op, the winner of the Mersey Novices Hurdle at Grade 1 on the Saturday of Aintree prior to the Grand National, of course. Andy, we're out of time, sadly, but always good to get your thoughts here on the Racing Podcast. Hopefully you've had a good Aintree. Hopefully everyone listening has as well. Tune in tomorrow for another edition of the Daily Racing Podcast. And Andy, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.